You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Embark on your weight loss journey now at BetterYouToday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Dumbass.
At the club, Club 1080.
Me.
The hottest spot north of
the Come on!
I'm viewing a guy on guy situation.
Why would you do that to us? You should not be touching the butts of small children.
A lot of milk.
Anybody want to milk me?
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
You guys want an update?
I would like an update.
You're going to be jealous. My account is funded.
I've given up.
Yeah, I've given up. I can't get past the first screen of the login.
No. Really? No, I'm still stuck on Next and the Bank of George, so whatever. The Bank of George has defeated me for the time being.
I don't know if it's the Bank of George or the Oregon Lottery that's defeated you for the moment.
Either way, nothing I can do about
when
it.
When will you try again?
I'll probably wait till I get home and I'll give it another crack.
I'm imagining a lot of people are trying to sign up at the same time.
Yeah.
And no matter how much they said they stress tested this, do they really know how many people are going to be signing up?
Yeah, dude, I'm getting, I like I said, I put this out on Twitter and there's just so many people that are like,
people are saying their email already exists.
Yeah.
I've gotten the username issue where no matter what I put in, as crazy as it was, it already existed. People are saying that they can't even download the app because it says they're in the wrong country.
Yeah.
Well, clearly I'm a VIP because they let me straight through. I have money in my account and I can bet
right now. They did not
let
you straight through. They sent you 19 verification emails that didn't work until one finally did.
I had a few hiccups, but I tell you what, it's 6:03 and I'm in, bitch.
You're through. You can bet on. You still have time to bet on that preseason Blazer game.
I do.
Well, you got time no matter what because you can live bet that sucker.
No, I will say the for the depositing the monies part, it's pretty good, man.
Really?
Like, what they do is you have to fund your Oregon Play Plus account or whatever. It's the main account that the Oregon Lottery holds.
Okay.
And to fund that, it takes you straight to your online banking.
Oh.
So you can just, it just goes right to your accounts, and then you agree to all the terms and everything, which is probably my firstborn, but whatever. I don't have one. And then you just click through, and boom, you fund it, and then you transfer it over from your Play account to your sports betting account, and then it's ready to roll. I will say this. It took a while to get in, and you guys are having problems, but once you get in, adding funds is super convenient and fairly easy.
Solid. So far, we're giving this thing like a C on the rollout.
Oh, I don't know about that. I would say probably worse, but...
Okay.
That was to be expected. That's the most predictable thing ever.
Yeah, you knew there was going to be some hiccups. It was bound to happen.
So I hope you guys get in tonight and we can come back tomorrow and talk about all our losings. But
that handball game that I've been wanting to bet on in France.
I even logged out and logged back in, and it was like, boom, you're in. Because it checks, it has to check where you are.
Yeah.
You have to be in Oregon.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
People are saying, like, yeah, you can be. It doesn't matter if, like, your information is from the state of Washington.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what your phone number is.
Yeah, anything like that. Like, you just have to, you can be in the state of Washington and sign up. Like, the utility bill and all that, they're just asking, they want to verify that it's you on the account. But you have to be in the state of Oregon. And someone did say they, like, driving across the bridge, he had the app up. And he said the moment he crossed into Portland, it allowed him to be on it.
So it does operate a lot like Bovada, if you've ever been on there. Just in terms of it just puts up your bet slips on the side.
Yep.
And away you go.
Away you go.
All right. Can you just do the club while I bet?
No, I don't think that's going to work out.
No.
Let's focus here, shall we?
Yeah, let me log out.
Can we focus?
I want to play with my new toys.
Dad.
Logging out.
You have a relationship with the Oregon Lottery dating all the way back to ancient Rome, Rob. Come on. You have time.
Okay. Logged out. Did you watch the debates?
I watched some of them.
I say debates. The debate.
The debate. I watched some of the debate. Yes.
So, I didn't, but I did see a list of how old each candidate would be on Inauguration Day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bernie's 1,000 years old already, and he's having heart attacks.
So this, again, this is on Inauguration Day, so this would be 2021.
Yeah.
Bernie would be 79
okay.
on that day.
Just had a heart attack. Maybe not the best.
Jolton Joe Biden will be 78.
Who I think is already insane, so maybe not the best.
Trumpy Nuts, 74. Mm-hmm. Oh, no commentary there. Interesting. let's see how you vote. Elizabeth Warren, 71.
She seems to be the front runner right now, everything that I'm reading.
And Mayor Pete, 39.
Now, am I the only
how
one?
How about that?
Every time he speaks, now he won't win. There's zero chance of that. You know why I know that there's zero chance that he won't win? Because he seems like the most rational and even-keeled person there. And that can't win.
So if I made you bet right now, it'll be one of those five people though, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
But he is the one when he speaks, I'm like, oh, seems rational. Seems like he makes some sense, and not gonna happen.
So they're all olds except for him.
Yes.
Okay. So now,
this, by the way, is the same thing like when Kasich was running and before Trump got it, he would speak, and you're like, oh, seems like a rational human being. Seems like he's somewhere in the middle. Yeah, no traction whatsoever. And by the way, what the hell was the question at the end about your surprising friendship?
You tell me what.
I mean, geez, Louise. Their final question for Anderson Cooper was, you know, over the Ellen and George Bush friendship, what would be a friendship that you have that's surprising? That was the last question of the debate.
Who comes up with the questions?
I don't know, but then Anderson Cooper asked it.
Well, you know, like, my theory on him.
Like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Anderson Cooper is about
a gajillion issues to talk about, and you're focused on who Ellen is friends with? Bite me.
Anderson Cooper is the most overrated human being in news. Absolutely 100% overrated.
I don't disagree.
And he's only there because of his mom.
I just think it's ridiculous that when I look around and I say, this is the best that we have to offer. Really? This is really the best we have to offer? It's just, it's depressing to me.
You know his mom was Gloria Vanderbilt, right?
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah.
And again,
okay.
I'd just like to point out that anytime there's a rational human being,
right.
we pay them
God.
No attention. Why?
Kevin, shut up!
Why?
Let's start yelling at each other about politics.
Come on! In case you couldn't tell, it gets under my skin a bit.
Mike, shut up!
Happy penis.
I'm just kidding. I'm just practicing. Hello?
I wasn't saying anything, Mike! So if you tell me to shut up, I just was going to continue to not say anything.
My politics are more important than your politics.
This really does bug me more than just about anything else going right now. Like, when you know that something triggers you and you try not to let it? This triggers me, and it's very frustrating.
So here is a segment called The More You Know. Okay, I've got a lot of fun facts for you. This is clean, wholesome fun for everyone, including the kids.
Okay?
Found a lot of fun facts on the internet today.
Okay.
On internet. You know?
You're on the dark web?
No.
I've never been on the dark web, and quite frankly, I'd like to take a spin on there. Find out what's up.
Go check it out.
Yeah, I think you gotta download like a separate thing, and it kind of scares me. You can't just go on to the dark web.
You have to have a certain browser.
Yeah, you have
to. Don't ask me how I know that.
You have to download something, and then that browser leads you to the dark web. And quite frankly, I'm afraid I'm gonna get put on some sort of list. And I feel like I'm already sketchy enough, and I'm probably on a watch list that I don't want to download that. But I'm not gonna lie. If you told me, like, if I went over to your house and we were hanging out, and you're like, hey, Sook, you wanna take a spin on the dark web? I'd be like, what? You're like, yeah, downloaded the Silk Road or whatever the hell it is. I'd look. I would like to see what's available for sale or hire on the dark web. Absolutely.
Did you know that there is still a place in the United States that delivers mail by mule?
Ooh. No, I did not know that, but tickle me intrigued. Now,
there is.
I'm going to say...
It's true.
Somewhere in the Appalachians? The Appalachian Mountains?
No.
Alaska.
Think about it.
you.
Now, they say
Montana?
They say that this is the most efficient way.
New Mexico.
This is the most efficient way to get mail to these people.
There's no way.
There's an Indian reservation, and it's in a remote.
The Dakotas?
No.
There's no way. There's no way that a mule is the most efficient way.
It is. It's the cheapest and most efficient.
Is it somewhere like in the swamps of Florida?
No.
Oklahoma?
No.
Thinking like Trail of Tears here? I don't know. Where else are there? Like, what? You're making this sound like it's obvious that I would know, like, where's mule territory. Like, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, God.
Well, you might be.
I can't believe I didn't know that that place was, you know, they're known for their mules.
No, it's more about where it's located. And it's at the base of the Grand Canyon. Okay.
Okay, can I offer a suggestion?
Please.
Because they said that's the most efficient way.
Yes.
What's wrong with just throwing the mail off the lip?
Now, that's silly.
Why?
Well, wind.
There's more than just paper in mail. Sometimes packages come in mail. You can't throw a package
breakable
down the Grand Canyon.
Letters.
Shoot, if you will. Like how the stork delivered the babies in the Looney Tunes or Warner Brothers cartoons. Or how about this? Pulley system. Rope. You can't tell me. I'm calling horse bleep on this story that you tell me that a donkey is the most efficient way to get up and down. How about a dune buggy? How about a little Vespa scooter with some off-road tires?
So this reads, the Grand Canyon is one of the 7 natural wonders of the world, and it also happens to be Charlie Chamberlain's mail route. At the dawn of his new ballyhooed high-tech millennium with faxes and email and all the rest, Charlie is still delivering mail by mule train 3 hours one way every day to a small Indian reservation 3,000 feet down on the floor of the canyon. He says, this is the most reliable way to get the mail and these supplies down there, and we can do it for less money, and also we can go in all types of weather. A helicopter can't always fly on these rims. The wind gets to blowing out there sometimes. You can't fly in high winds. At sunrise, his outlandishly remote mail delivery begins even further away in tiny Peach Springs, Arizona, where they deliver about a foot of the letters to the bottom of the canyon. But most of the mule train mail is food, and the post office there is equipped for it.
Huh.
They have a walk-in freezer in their mail room.
Really?
Yeah, only one in the continental United States. Anything they need down there in the village, they would go to the store, department store, or food market. Anything you get there, they pack it, and they get it down there. That's basically how it works. And it's a 70-mile drive. He does it daily. He gets to the rim, 70 miles to the rim, and then they go by horse. They have 50 horses, and the horses take the accoutrement.
I like that you threw a little accent in there just for...
That's French.
A little spice.
And then the mules take it the last 8 miles down to the village.
Wow.
Yeah.
This seems... And yep. They do this every day?
Every day. Well, probably not on Sundays.
Not on Sundays. But that seems... Like, am I the only one that thinks that that seems like the most inefficient way to get mail 70 miles?
Well, he just said it's the most efficient.
I don't think it is.
I'm assuming they've probably thought about this at
have
length.
Have they really?
Well, Suke, you've been thinking about this for 2 minutes.
So. I've been thinking about it for 2 minutes, and I've already concluded that there are much better ways to do this than some series of, like...
Well, they should sick you on it.
Olympic baton relay races between horses and donkeys and ice boxes. This is
This is classic Suke.
This is a terrible, terrible idea.
Well, he says he's been doing it for 21 years, and UPS and FedEx and all that stuff goes to him. He is the one guy that gets it all down there.
What have I said? The worst reason to keep doing something is because that's the way we've done it in the past. You've been doing it for 21 years. Well, it's time to think of a new way.
What if I told you?
At this point, you can
mules delivered mail. Next on ESPN 30 for 30.
At this point,
I'd watch that.
You could probably do drone, right? Because
yes.
Aren't they talking about doing drone, like with UPS and
yes.
all that? But that's only certain sizes. So how are you going to get the big crate of eggs down there? You know, or the porn.
There's no. Oh, yeah, do you got Wi-Fi down there?
Stopped you in your track.
There has to be. There just has
well,
to be.
Well, come
a
up
better
with
way.
It then, there, smart guy.
Is there any money in it for me?
That's our first fun fact. What percentage of Canadians live south of Seattle?
Oh, okay.
That coming up next on The More You Know. It's 6:15 on The Fan.
YouToday.com.
Double Sun Power!
Okay, it's Fun Fact Wednesday here on The Fan.
Apparently Mule Wednesday as well.
Now to our next fun fact. So the first fun fact was there is still a place in the United States where they deliver mail by mule, which is blowing Sakanik's mind. He refuses to believe it, but it's true.
Well, I refuse to believe that that's the most efficient way.
I do love this text that came in. I'm going to go ahead and trust the post office on this one, especially when the guy who thinks it could be done better gives us throwing it down there as his first alternative.
First off, I think that's genius. It's like gravity take hold.
Put little weights on it.
And I'll tell you right now, if you think that the federal government or any agency involving the federal government knows the most efficient way to do something, you're fooling yourself. When's the last time our government did anything that someone went, you know what? That's the most efficient way to do it. Boom.
New fun fact. What percentage of Canadians live south of Seattle?
Well, I'm guessing that it's quite a bit because I'm guessing that Seattle is going to be more north than like Toronto.
That's right.
And all that.
Now
and I do
it.
Know that L.A., I think L.A. is the second or third biggest Canadian city. There's more Canadians that live in Los Angeles than any other than maybe one or two. So I'm going to say 75%.
I also think he means specifically those who live in Canada.
Yes, this is only people who live in Canada. But
okay. Then I'm sorry.
I'm still
going
to say 75%.
Yeah, it's high.
Okay.
64%.
64%.
Yeah, 64%, bro.
So it'd be a lot higher if you said the total number of Canadians, right? Because then you would include all the Canadians that live in the United States.
Right.
But, yeah.
The popular
and
myth.
I have seen, too, that I think it's 90% of Canadians live within 100 miles of the U.S. border.
Right.
You get above 100 miles in Canada, and it's just
too cold, bro.
It's farmland, and it's just frozen tundra.
The popular myth that the border between America and planet Maple Leaf runs along the 49th parallel from sea to rolling sea, and by extension, that all of our Canadian friends ice skate to work and school every day on frozen rivers, dodging caribou at every turn, is bunk. Pure geographic mythology. Look at a real map, one that shows degrees of latitude north of the equator. Follow those lines around the continent, then watch those bar trivia night winnings pile up. Here's a good non-trick opening question for your friends. How many Canadians live south of the Peach Arch in Blaine? And the answer is most of them. Tundra-dwelling Puget Sound peeps, about 72% of the roughly 35 million supposedly Great White North-dwelling Canucks live well south of the top end of Whatcom County, most of them clustered in the dangling appendage of Hockey Nation that dips far below the 49th parallel in the Great Lakes region.
Well, remember, like, if you're in Detroit, you can just see you're a hop, skip, and a jump, and you just drive over there into that Windsor or wherever it's at, and you just, I mean...
Windsor?
Yeah, I mean, you're right there. Yeah, you don't really realize that when you look at the map, but it kind of is a bit of a tilt. And by the way, I did look it up, and yes, 90% or so... They have estimates between 87.8 and 92.3, so we'll just go ahead and say 90%, do live within 100 miles of the border, the U.S. border.
Well, there you go.
I'm telling you, man, you look at a population map of Canada, and it is just the north. It is a massive country, and there is nothing going on up there once you get past that 100-mile mark.
Next fun fact. Eventually, our days will be 25 hours long.
Get right the hell out of town.
Yeah, did you know that?
I did not know that. Our days are getting longer?
They are. Very, 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 very slowly. But the Earth's orbit of the sun is slowing. So, in 175 million years, our days will be 25 hours in length. And so Big Clock is probably loving this because, you know, everybody's going to have to get new clocks.
Are you really?
In 175 million years?
Or are we just going to ignore this and just be like, eh, we're just still going to call it 24?
Well, I'm guessing we won't be around. But maybe.
175 million years?
You'll be pretty old.
Well, we won't be around, but...
I'm going to go ahead and assume that we've learned space travel at that point and we're not on Earth anymore.
Come on!
Earth is like this weird tourist attraction that people go back to see the original home of
right.
humans.
They're like, oh my God, Earth. I'm not going down there. Place sucks.
Well, think about 170.
You have to clarify Earth 1, not Earth 9.
Dude, mind blown.
Because we've, like, humans as we know them, not like Neanderthals or ancestors, we've only been around for a couple hundred thousand years, right? And, like, what do they say, like, the Age of Enlightenment? Now you kick that out 175 million years?
Yeah.
What if we've evolved to something way, way cooler?
You think?
Well, think about how far.
Go ahead and hope so.
Well, think about where we've come from.
What if we are devolving? Then what?
Nah, we're evolving. Mm-hmm. They said already, right? I mean, like, our bone structure is changing and we're becoming less physical.
Yeah. Some people think we're devolving based on things that are happening in the world.
I'm just saying.
Well, there's a difference between devolving and devolving.
No, I think what they're saying is devolving and devolving will eventually be the same thing because we're too stupid. We're going the wrong way. So we'll screw it up. But, you know, 175 million years, hard to predict what's going to happen then, though.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a long time. 150 million years, you know, maybe got a few thoughts, but.
Yeah, we got something cooking there. I would like to, speed that up a little bit, kind of see where we're at in 175 million years. Yeah, they're saying that at a time, like, humans as we know them, that would be the same as us. At atomically modern humans, we've been around for somewhere between 800 and 300,000 years. And then and then humans in general, 2.5 million. And then you can go back to chimps and all that stuff. But, you know, 175 million years, I would give just about anything to be able to look, just get a glimpse and see what we're like.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't
it? To see what humans look like in 175 million years.
Would you even be able to fathom what you were seeing?
No.
Because when you think now, right, you're having one of those really, really philosophical late night on the beach conversations or whatever, and you're talking about the universe and the size of the universe, and you're going, oh my, I just can't understand how it's endless and this and that. If you were to time travel and go to 175 million years in the future, could your brain process anything at all?
Probably not.
Or would it be so foreign that you would have no idea what was happening?
Well, think about this. So I went back and looked at where we were at. If we went back 175 million years, if we went backwards. Mm-hmm. So they said that mammals, the first mammals would have just been happening. So if you think about what the very first mammal looked like, that's what going back 175 million years and look at where we're at now. Now kick forward 175 million years and what's the equivalent of going from just the very first mammal to us to what could be on the other side of that?
Well, when you put it that way, to Mike's question, I think we would recognize. Because let's say lost little Mike Lynch from Teaneck, New Jersey, happened to be around when mammals were first created 175 million years ago. You're like the one guy who slipped through the cracks. You recognize Earth, right?
Sure.
I mean, a long time ago. But, you know, trees and water and rocks. Maybe some blow. Maybe a Oregon Lottery scoreboard app that didn't work.
Well, it worked for you.
So then if you fast forward 175 million years from now, you know, you probably know kind of what's happening, but it would look, you know.
I guess my only question is, if, again, you don't really know what the evolution could be, but if you evolve to that point.
Like I said, I don't think we'll be here, but.
Probably not. But if someone could slip through the cracks from 175 million years ago, maybe someone can do it again.
What if it's all water?
What if it's like
water world,
pure
with floating bodies?
Like purely telepathic communication and nobody's talking, but everyone's having conversations with each other and you're just sitting there going, I don't understand what's happening.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that sounds crazy, but when you think about where we came from, the same distance in the past, it doesn't sound that crazy.
No.
And they're already saying that like our bones are getting thinner, our fingers are getting longer, we're becoming less geared towards manual labor. And that those
and, you know, more geared to video games and sports betting on an app.
Absolutely.
That doesn't work.
Do you think the scoreboard app will work by then? 175 million years?
What are the odds? I'm still waiting for the Bank of George. I'm like, damn it! Go to next!
Okay, I have more fun facts. The more you know continues. This is fun. I'm going to quiz you coming up next. Here's Mike.
Adults, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
So we were having our debate of the what are we going to look like in 175 million years, and someone said sun. Well, someone said no one will be here. The sun will go kablooey. No, it will not. I looked this up because I was intrigued. I was like, no, it's way more than 175 million years. But I looked up when the sun is going to die, and about 5 billion years we've got left before the sun decides to go,
really?
Bye-bye.
So isn't that, how old is Earth? Like 5 billion years? We're halfway home, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're.
I thought it was like 3.8 or 4 billion or something. That's what I thought. I don't know.
It doesn't really matter. We're in the billions. Let's look.
Well, I know we're in the billions, but I think we're about halfway home.
What's interesting, though, is if the sun starts changing, does it kill us before the sun goes kablooey?
So right. So what I read in this article, yeah, they're saying officially they're going to, well, I guess officially, the estimate is 4.54 billion years.
Oh, four and a half.
Four and a half.
So we're not quite halfway home.
Not quite halfway home.
Another 500 million years.
Yeah. So they're saying 5 billion more years.
No, I know, but we have 500 million years before we get to 5 billion.
Yes, and
which
then
means
we'll
we're halfway home.
So we got a while.
We have 500 million years to get to halfway.
But here's the thing.
So this 175 million stuff really isn't, I mean, that's like tomorrow.
But there are some scientists that believe we only have about 40 to 60 million more years before there's a chance
we all
that,
die.
No, that other planets orbiting the sun can slightly vary a little bit, that it may become less stable, and that there are people out there that believe that it will not be the sun dying. It will either be Mars or Venus colliding with us.
Whoa.
That will cause everyone to go kablooey way before the sun.
Okay. Well,
does.
I would.
But they said that they ran a. Over a billion computer simulations, and it said only in about 2% did Mercury's orbit become screwed up enough where eventually it would run into us. But there is a chance that Mercury or Venus or Mars, their orbit gets a little screwy, and then it gradually inches towards us, and then, you know, head-on collision.
Dude, we will not be here 175 million years from now.
Are you saying people?
People. Human beings.
You think that?
I do. I believe that. Something's going to happen.
I think the Mariners will win a World Series by then?
chances are no. Not at this rate. Okay, here's a quiz. This is the More You Know Club. Wholesome fun for everyone.
And now we've learned about the Earth.
How many people...
Seven.
...need to be in a room...
12.
...for two of them to have a 50% chance of sharing a birthday?
How many people... need to be in a room.
So you got a room full of people. 50%. I need you to get to a 50%. There's a 50-50 chance you and I share a birthday in a room with how many people?
Gosh, I'm guessing that you're talking an S-ton.
Because of the way you're posing this, I bet you it's going to be less than we think.
Was it possible?
As
like,
he says.
Well, there's... is it just you take the number of days and if you multiply that by two, is that... all we need? Hmm. Are we roughly around 700? What are we?
700 is your guess. What is your guess?
I think that's a really great theory. I'm going to up it slightly and say 1,000, but that's just because it's different.
This is going to blow your mind. Okay, be ready for your mind to be blown, bro. All
right.
23.
What?
23 people need to be in a room for two of them to have a 50% chance of sharing a birthday. Mind-blowing.
Didn't see that one coming.
Now, but you guys are on the right track. Now, here's why. So, with only 365 possible birthdays, this is based on what they call the compounding power of components. Or, if you want to read about it, you can read about it, but it will also make your brain reboot.
Sure.
It's called the birthday paradox. You can go read about it, but... Basically, it's 23.
So there's if I'm in a bar,
yes,
I got a any bar.
There's
that
a 50% chance you have a shared birthday,
huh?
If there are more than 23 people, there's a almost a 99% chance if there are 75 people in a room,
huh,
that two of them will have a shared birthday.
That's quite interesting. I would have never guessed the numbers were that low. All right. Well, next time you're out at a place and you're feeling lonely, just think, hey, someone here probably shares my birthday. I did see, by the way, that more and more countries are putting that as a public health crisis.
What?
Loneliness.
Aww.
Yeah, they read an article where they're saying there's a lot of, like, I think it was a linked reference, but it was in Psychology Today or something like that. That was the name of the publication. And there are a lot of scientists that are starting to believe that outside of like heart disease and cancer or whatever, but that is the number one mental health crisis that we have is loneliness. And there was a bunch of reasons behind it, but like people aren't going to church. People are being more isolated.
Totally buy it.
Yeah. And that's why they said that like social media and all that stuff is becoming more and more powerful because that's the only connection that people have. Mm. A lot of lonely, sad people out there. So, you know, go out to a bar, meet someone. It's got your birthday. Have a hug.
Do more people live in the city of London or around the city of London? What do you think about that? Have you ever been to London?
Yeah, but very briefly.
Yeah.
I was there for like a day and a half, and so we only got to do the stupid touristy stuff.
Now, this is just from being a guy who likes to look at maps. I'm going to go ahead and say around the city of London because there's so many different neighborhoods that I think count as different towns.
That's right.
But the city of London is so small, but everything around it is technically London, but not really. They're all different towns.
Bingo, bro. 9,000. Do you know that only 9,000 people live in the city of London?
I did not know that, and that is...
Mike nailed it.
Astronomically small. How many? What's the population like when you do the surrounding areas?
8.1 million. So 9,000 in the city of London, 8.1 million technically around the city of London. But if you've ever been to London, it is a vast.
Yeah, it's an enormous place.
Yeah, it's just in the city center is very small. And not many people live down there, so it's only 9,000.
Which is why I was kind of bummed out that it takes you so long. So it's almost like if you're there for just a day or two, you feel cheated. Like you're almost like, well, I shouldn't have gone in the first place. Because it's like impossible to see what you want to see.
And let's see if I have time. Do I have time for another one? Yeah, I'll give you one more.
Yes.
I've got more. We'll have to spill over to tomorrow. Because I think the most mind-blowing one is still to come.
I'm kind of enjoying the Fun Facts Wednesday.
Yeah, this is great.
It'll be Fun Facts Thursday. Tomorrow, so tune in, because we're going to be at Birdie's.
Oh yeah,
Birdie Time Pub.
Well, look, you're going to easily be distracted. My guess is you're going to be on the golf simulator or playing putt-putt golf.
That's right. Do I need to bring my sticks?
I think we should put the over-under. I'm going to set it at 3.5. Number of segments where Rob is late coming back to the program.
Over.
I'm going to go under 3.
What is a bigger number?
Foolish bet.
What is a bigger number? This is the last one for today, and then we'll put a pin in it. What is a bigger number, trees on Earth or stars in the galaxy?
Run that by me again.
What is a bigger number, trees on Earth or stars in the galaxy?
Stars in the galaxy.
Stars in the galaxy.
That's what everyone would say.
Yeah, right?
I mean, galaxy
not
being the Milky Way.
Even close. There are 400 to 500 billion stars. There are 3 trillion trees.
What? I guess that's just in our galaxy, right?
Just in our galaxy, yeah.
Just in the Milky Way.
Milky Way.
Okay, because the line that you hear all the time is that there are more stars
than grains of sand.
Yeah.
That was from the Fermi paradox that we did on the show once.
Yeah, we're big on paradoxes here.
Yeah, it's what we do.
You guys smoke a lot of weed to listen to us. That's what I think.
You do drugs, Danny? Every day, good.
So what's the problem? 3 trillion trees to 400 to 500 billion stars. I thought that was a fun fact. I didn't know there were that many trees. Wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of trees. I just would assume stars, but again, we assume stars, so we should have gone the other way.
Look at you just poo-pooing 3 trillion trees.
I don't think that number sounds ridiculous.
3 trillion?
Trillion.
Here's the other thing that
look
we...
Look outside.
Here's the thing
There's
that,
5 right there.
Here's the thing that we get screwed up about all the time. We have
this. I was
this
just thinking the same thing.
We have this idea that where we live is what makes up the world. No, it's like when the idiot. Careful. Uh-oh. When someone says that we're running out of room in our country, the hell we are. We are not. Like 85% of our country
China.
Is. There's
China.
Nothing there.
China.
But trees.
China.
And land.
China. China.
Go around the world. Go to China sometime. There is nothing
China.
But space.
I'm really rich.
Like if we looked up the amount of land that was
Space
actually
Force.
Occupied by cities or a town.
Space Force.
It is so astronomically small.
China.
Who are we talking about?
Nothing.
Who's the idiot?
What? I stopped myself. Sorry.
All right, we got to go. That's Fun Fact Wednesday. That will spill into Fun Fact Thursday, maybe even Fun Fact Friday. I don't know. Tomorrow, we'll be at Birdie Time Pub. Join us. John wraps it up next on The Fan. 245, kind of broad at the
shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody... This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
Big Bad John. All right, coming up next is the Oregon Ducks Coaches Show. Mario Cristobal will be on there, and then Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch after that. Here's Sean. Hello.
I'm calling BS on your thing because nobody could possibly know how many trees or stars there really are. That's impossible to know.
That's not true.
It is true. You know how long it would take to... How do you count them? Somebody counted all the trees?
No, it's an estimate, nope. Just like they estimate crowds.
There's an algorithm.
Right. It's a guess. You're saying it's
no,
a guess.
It's
nobody
an
knows.
No, it's not
no.
a guess. It's an estimate.
That's what a guess is.
No. That is not
nobody
what a
knows.
Is. That is a
nobody
different...
Nobody knows how many trees there are, and nobody knows how many stars there are. It's a freaking guess.
Look at John trying to deny science.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're telling me there's 4 trillion trees on the earth?
No, there's not. There's 3.4 trillion trees.
Yes, right.
No, there aren't. You don't. Nobody could possibly know that.
It's called an approximation, John, and that's not a guess.
Which is a guess.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
It's not the same thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is.
All
you
right,
guys are so dumb.
Hold on. Here we go.
Word? What?
I'm going to the text or the what do you call it? The internet?
Yeah. The Google machine?
Yeah, you give me the formula. Give me the formula that they used to produce 3.4 trillion trees.
An estimate means to find something close to the correct answer.
Roughly
calculate or judge the value, number, quantity, or extent of. Okay?
So
that's estimate.
So what you're doing, John, it's the same thing in the sky. You're mapping you're mapping different sections of the sky and different sections of the earth. And then you know how
yeah.
many rough sections there are, and you come up with enough things to say within a mathematical certainty of...
No, it's not a mathematical
now
certainty.
Now, here's guess. Here's guess. Guess is an estimate or conjecture. Suppose something without sufficient information to be sure of being correct.
Yeah, that's not
two
a,
different
that's
things.
Not an approximation.
And my argument is you don't have sufficient information to be sure how many trees there are,
let alone
grains of sand or stars.
Really? John? Are you serious right now?
Yes, nobody knows.
Booyah. Like you've said some interesting things on here, and you have some hot takes, your steak well done.
Oh my gosh,
you're telling me
you're telling me you're comfortable just accepting there's 3.4 trillion trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, John.
I'm down with that number.
There's science and computers, and they map these sorts of things.
What do you think? There's like 100?
And science is never wrong, ever.
I'm pretty sure.
They're guessing. It's a guess.
Oh, my. Wow.
What has gotten into you?
Oh, my gosh. You guys are ridiculous. It's a guess.
All right. Fine. Fine. You're wrong, but okay. You're scaring
there's
me.
3.4 trillion trees. I mapped it. Okay. You can't even count to a billion. It would take you 30 years to count to a billion. And you're just going to assume that we're guessing 3.4 trillion trees.
Are you really dumb enough to think that there's just one guy out there counting trees?
No, but the number is so large. The number is so large. It's just a total guess. Yes, there's some formula. And I'm sure scientists are like, that's probably close. But they're probably a trillion off. That's how many of them there are.
All right. Have a good night. I get some rest, okay?
And you guys are just on the air.
Love
oh, there's 3.4 trillion
okay.
trees.
All right.
Wow.
All right.
If they're a trillion off, there'd be no trees.
Wait, what?
Didn't you say there's 1 trillion or is
no,
it 3 trillion?
3 trillion.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you said 1 trillion. I was like, a trillion off. There's no.
Someone said, "Holy s, John is real."
He's being serious, and I. That was very out of character for John. I'm worried about him.
I love that John thinks that with all the things that we can do with science, right? All the things that we can track, somehow the number of trees eludes us. Like what? Because there's too many of them?
I'm scared.
There's people that map the universe, John, and we can't count trees?
John is just projecting his Mariner anger at the trees.
Right, he's taking it out on trees. What's next? Stars?
Well, he doesn't believe in the stars either.
But he believes in angels in the sky, right?
Yeah.
Who estimates that? Is it just a guess how many are up there? Or somebody got to estimate that?
That's a fact.
That's a fact, Jack. Well, that's an all-time classic there. All right, coming up next, it is the Ducks Coaches Show. And then...
top that, Mario.
Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch is after that. All right, we're off tomorrow to Birdie Time Pub in Southeast Portland. We'd love to see you there, 3 to 7 on the Fan. Good night.
Friendships of Spain.
Come on, Rob!
Friendships of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.